You're really quiet, though.
He was quiet like that on the second chat, but it was much louder than this when we had the first chat and when we had the blank quartet chat. Okay, I basically started recording everybody. Okay, folks, welcome to this third, albeit unofficial, Bruno chat. It is around 12:10 Pacific right now, 1:10 Mountain, 2:10 Central, 3:10 Eastern, 8:10 PM UK, 5:10 AM Australia, and 7:10 AM New Zealand on Tuesday, September 4th. This chat is going to be same format as the last two chats. Those of you who listened to the last two chats that we've done in July would have gathered that we've discussed everything about Bronauts. But in this time, we are going to have a general topic that we're going to focus on. And the topic for this chat, although you can discuss everything that you want to discuss about Bruno, but for today's chat, the topic that I'm going to be discussing around will be Keysoft 7.5, its strengths and weaknesses. Basically, we'll be talking about Keysoft 7.5 in general, what we could find, features that team members should have added by now, features that we can utilize under Keysoft 7.5, and numerous errors and bugs that we found in Keysoft 7.5. So basically, we'd like to start by introducing ourselves. Okay, this is Joseph Lee from LA, Los Angeles, California. This is actually the third Bruno chat that I'm hosting as of now. I have upgraded to Keysoft 7.5 last Friday when it was first released. Although I found several features that I might use, such as a playlist support, RFB and D-books, and the faster USB and SD card drivers. Although there were some issues that I found, such as error 10,038 that is thrown when sending and receiving email, DHCP errors that I received on my network card, and most annoyingly, back translation issues. And I believe this is going to be the first thing that we're going to discuss right now, which is Duxbury and translation issues. Okay, would you guys mind introduce yourself and start firing up?
Okay, my name is Rich Cavallaro, and I'm from New York, and I have installed Keysoft 7.5, but for me, the biggest issue is the back translation, as you said, Joseph. And actually, I believe, and tell me if this is possible, if I'm wrong, you can downgrade Keysoft, because I may go back to 7.2, because I do a lot of back translation for my schoolwork, and I have school starting this week, and this is something that I use quite often, so I really kind of need that, so I may go back if possible, and I believe it is possible. Am I correct in that? But the SSL support is nice. I can use the Gmail, and the RFB support is cool, but really the back translation is a big issue and kind of prevented me from really wanting to use 7.5 at this point until such time as HumanWare puts a patch out to fix the translation problems.
And this is Derek Roberts. I prefer not to give out much, like, as far as city and state type info. I have installed 7.5, although I don't really use the back translator very much. I have noticed I've gotten like a couple hundred emails on the Bruno list about that.
But I am correct in assuming that you can downgrade. Is that correct, guys? To 7.2 if you wanted?
Yeah, you can. You don't have to worry about the bootloader. You can just install the 7.2 nk.bin file just like you were upgrading, except it'll go back, not forward.
Alex, we can hear you, but your volume is a bit soft. Basically, yes, you can install 7.2 as a downgrade, but I have attempted to find that eBoot file that we use for Keysoft 7.0 upgrade. That is the one that we should use for 7.2. But the only thing that came up was Keysoft 7.01 installer. There was nothing for the Keysoft 7.0.22, nor the eBoot file that we need to downgrade to KeySoft 7.2. As part of KeySoft 7.5, FirmWare released Bootloader 2.7. The older versions, like 2.6 to 2.5, works with KeySoft 7.2. And in order for KeySoft 7.5 to run efficiently, we need a Bootloader version 2.7. And there's no way to really, although I've tried that, the unit knocked up, so I had to upgrade back to KeySoft 7.5. You cannot really downgrade to KeySoft 7.2 unless, and if and only if you have the eBoot file that we've used with KeySoft 7.0.
Because I'm just checking through my email, and I wrote to Maurice personally. He said that just put the nk.bin file and hit .dots 4 and 5. I was just reading my email as you spoke, Joseph.
Yes, that's what I... So Maurice said that the smart... Well, the Maurice said HumanWare is currently working on that right now. And there was a post from Brian, kind of forwarded a message from someone who worked at Duxbury, who said they... Currently, Duxbury is on holiday right now for Labor Day. Although, if they... HumanWare can find some errors with back translators, Duxbury said they're happy to work with it to resolve this issue as soon as possible. Brian, do you have any words on those? Hello? Yes, back-to-back translation issues. I conducted a survey regarding back translation, and about 3 or 4 people responded to it, including Kevin, Brandon, and John Hauk. The universal problem that they noticed, they sent to me, was that a single character contraction, such as Y for you, but B for but, C for can, etc., is broken when a capital sign is inserted in front of it. Normally, it is not supposed to do that, but apparently this condition exists because a single letter contraction is preceded by a capital sign, and B, the capital sign itself is preceded by a punctuation, notably a period. And Kevin told me, when I sent the message to the Bruno list about the chat reminder, he said that I had messed it up. I read the message and it did mess it up, because I have forgotten about writing the whole thing out or typing .56 in front of the capital sign to make it appear as though I'm typing a single letter. This other work on the shop that I found. So Kevin said I found some mistakes, and I said I'm sorry for the huge mistakes, and I found that the back translator has kind of messed it up with these single character contractions that are preceded by a capital sign, which in turn is preceded by a punctuation, notably a period.
It was kind of funny though, some of the some of, like, the single letter contractions that people put, like, even by it, like with the word yes in capital, A-L-L-Y-E-S, and I know some people got kind of a laugh out of that, because the way some of the context stuff.
I really hope that HumanWare resolves this, because this is a major, major problem.
Any other comments regarding this? Mary, Alex, Brian, other folks?
Now, you mentioned, Joseph, the bootloader earlier. So, did you try going back from 7.5 to 2, and you said it was not successful?
Correct. I tried that with the current bootloader. And what I've done is I basically ran the whole thing as though I'm upgrading from 7.0 to 7.2. I had the current bootloader, version 2.7, and I have copied the nk.bin file for KeySoft 7.2.47. And I tried to downgrade it, but it didn't work. It got stuck at KeySoft CE version on message, and it refused to go further. I have even installed a proc key itself for 7.2 beforehand, but it did not work, so I had to upgrade back to Keysoft 7.5 and install the proc key after that with some PDIBOOT file that I renamed.
I'm going to have to email Maurice or Humanware, because I really hope we can go back to 7.2, because I know they're working on a back translation, but I mean, as a temporary solution, I would hope we can get the other bootloader, maybe put on the website, like, soon. Otherwise, I'm probably going to have to write everything in computer braille until this gets resolved.
They did say that it should only be a couple of days until they get this figured out.
Yeah, that's what they said, but they also said that KS7.5 was going to be released in the middle of August.
That's why that I say I hope we can get back to 7.2, which at least that worked with the translation.
Although I could just barely hear Alex there.
The microphone adjustment is gone from my master volume control panel for some reason. There's no microphone setting there at all.
And we're able to adjust the volume for that?
No, there's no microphone adjustment available.
Hey guys, it's Robert Carter. I'm the moderator in here, and I will try to boost that volume on this end a little bit if I can, but I'm not sure if I can raise it up any or not.
Yeah, excellent. He's here. You need to go to Option, Properties, and then under Recording tab, under Recording Devices, you have to check the microphone checkbox. Probably is unchecked, probably. Because Robert said he's going to do it, but we'll see what happens.
74%.
I can't hear anybody.
Probably you might want to turn the progress announcement off, and then you might want to boost the speaker volume a bit. And the comment that you've thrown, Mariana, was quite interesting. It said that it's quite unacceptable. I tend to agree with that. That, yeah, we had several hundred messages, literally several hundred messages regarding this issue. And the only thing that came out was that it is worked on. It is worked on. And for several of us, including myself, It is extremely important that we get the back translator get straightened up. And I'm currently looking at the text chat window, and Brian says that he can listen though, although he's having some microphone troubles. Did you set the microphone, as I described earlier, go to volume control, and did you actually connect a mic, or what's going on here?
Sorry to interrupt. Is this better?
Still faint.
There's something too, if you also in options, there's a setting, I'm not sure if it's checked or not, but there's an option called Advanced Controls. When you click that, there should be a button next to the microphone, next to the microphone mute button. It says Advanced, and if you go in there, there's an option, a checkbox that says 20 dB gain. It might be unchecked too.
Just for people's reference, I just sent a message to Maurice and I asked him about the bootloader thing. So we'll see what he says when he replies later on.
How's the sound?
There it goes. There is the, there we go.
Also, this isn't really a bug or anything, but I noticed in Keysoft 7.5 they use the silence thing a lot more. Like if you're reading an Eloquence, it has a lot more typing in between words.
Well, I haven't noticed that, but in relating to that, someone reported last night that, probably was Brandon, that when Eloquence encounters number 0, it does not say 0, it says Zeret for some apparent reason. I noticed that too. Although I didn't report it last night, but thanks to Brandon, I don't have to anymore, because the list already knows, thanks to Brandon.
Going along with that, I don't know about Eloquence because I hate it and never use it on the Braille Note, but at least with Keynote Gold, whenever it sees the word third, like the number 3 and then RD, it now says 3 road. So there's obviously something's wrong with their pronunciation there. So it's not third anymore, it's 3 road.
thing is, though, I think it's processing it as two words, because now there are some words that have, like, abbreviations, like probably RD by itself would be wrote. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah, that's just what it's doing, but it shouldn't do that. I mean, it should see the number 3 and then the two letters as one word, as it always did. I haven't tried it with first, second, fourth, and so on yet. I'm going to give that a try actually right now, because I've got my Gremlin right in front of me. But I know at least third doesn't work at all, and I'll see about the rest of them.
Mr. Robert, just wanted to check with Mary Ellen. You said you weren't hearing anything. Are you able to hear everybody now?
And Brian also having some mic problems as well for some approvals. And Brian, would you mind text Robert? Press F8 and press text Robert and tell him what's going on with your mic. I know, sorry for that authoritative tone, but...
Okay, it's only third 3RD that is somehow broken, by the way.
I will say this, the SSL support is very nice. I've been able to use Gmail, of course, the translation doesn't work, but I can at least receive my mail.
And I heard from Christopher Hallsworth on MSN that Hotmail uses a webmail thing. Can Gmail not use Hotmail, like as an SSL or whatever? Can it not use mail, the Hotmail, whatever, as a pop and SMTP server?
I'm sure you could if you had the right, stuff to enter into your Gmail.
You have to actually, if I'm correct, you have to actually pay for the POP3 access using Hotmail. And someone already confirmed that Gmail actually supports SSL by default, so you can access Hotmail using web interface. So it's Gmail. And regarding to this, the first bug that I've noticed is that when a user attempts to send and receive emails in Gmail, and two exceptions occur depending on the following two conditions. Condition A, if an SSL-based email account is being used, on my system it'll say invalid function. It'll say error 1 invalid function, and it refuses to send it. Second one is if a non-SSL account is used, it'll say invalid socket handle, error code 10,038, for some unknown reason. I think I emailed those to Jonathan Sharp and Alex Beck, but I don't know if they got it or not.
Now, the strange thing is, I'd never gotten that. I saw your post about it, but I'd never experienced it. And then last night, I'm not using SSL, by the way, but last night I got that whole invalid function with an error 1. Trying to reply to a Brownload email, as well as, I think it was a 1038, but it was some sort of error with an invalid socket handle. So I wrote a second email, and I didn't know it, but apparently every single time I tried to send either the first one or both of them, that first one was sending, even though it kept returning errors and exceptions and all that fun stuff, but it never sent the second one. So I finally erased the first one after the whole list received 4 copies of it. I'm sure you guys remember that. And then the second one sent fine, and I haven't had a problem since. So that's really strange. I'm not sure what was going on there, but that's never happened to me before KS75.
I just wonder, I mean, during all the beta testing, why wasn't all this discovered? I mean, I don't know. It just seems weird that we're getting released that's so, all these strange problems.
Hi, am I coming through? It's Brian.
Heard a lot of static and nothing really came through.
I heard you ask if you were coming through, Brian, and you are, but there's static on your signal, and also it took a while for your signal to be released after you got done talking, so I don't know if you just make sure you let up on that control key when you're done, but try it again. Let's see if we can hear you.
Do you hold the control? Yeah, you have to hold the control key down when you talk, do you?
Yeah, that's correct. Hold it down when you talk. You hear a little blip when the mic is open for you to talk, and then when you're done, release the control key. Yeah, we're hearing you now, but there is a little static on your signal.
Okay, I will try to adjust my microphone setting. I'm on a USB headset. Mr. Joe Sullivan said he thinks he knows what's wrong with the Duxbury translator, and it should be very quick to fix.
That would be good. I'm looking forward to that patch. I can tell you that right now, because I do so much back translation for school. I can tell you that I rely on that. I do a lot of, you know, going back to Word and sending them, I'll email them to my teachers and the docs, you know, the Word files.
Yeah. Someone mentioned beta testing. I'm not using JAWS or anything. I'm using some free screen reader, so I don't have as much access to this whole system as I'd like to. So I'm not sure who was saying it, but the beta testing really should have picked something out like this. I mean, one beta tester sends an email to HumanWare saying all this stuff, written in grade 2. Why didn't HumanWare pick up on how incredibly strange it was? You know, I mean, you can see it on your own system, on any forums or anything. As soon as you write something in grade 2 and you send it and you see it translated, then you know that something really bad's going on there. I mean, I can't imagine that a beta team, not only just one beta person, but a whole team of people would miss something like that.
I agree. I mean, I'm sure if these people sent an email as a grade 2, and I'd love to know how was it overlooked unless something was put in at the last minute. I mean, I don't know. I just don't get that. I mean, that's such a big thing, back translation. Really is.
Shades of Keysoft 7.2, build 43.
Yeah, same situation all over again, but with worse consequences. Regarding the beta testers, I think HumanWare should have chosen people who use all models, VoiceNote and Bruno Peking included, and those who use Bruno's almost every function, such as email, internet, and so forth. And they should have chosen people with a lot of technical expertise, because they'll be able to easily figure out a problem and at least send like a possible solutions to HumanWare if that thing exists. That way HumanWare will be able to release it pretty quickly. And looking at the kernel version, it says kernel 6.0, August 2nd, 2007.
And maybe this is way off, but isn't kernel version, I thought they had the CE version 6 kernel. Is that different somehow, or?
Explain what happened with the Duxbury translator. It was supplied by Duxbury. It was a new component supplied by Duxbury at the last minute. So he didn't have a, HumanWare didn't have a chance to fully test it. That's why they didn't pick up the problem.
That explains a lot.
That certainly does explain a lot.
There were, that might be a probable cause. Yes, we discussed Windows CE 6.0 on the last two chats. Thanks for bringing that up. The CE 6.0 kernel is essentially different from CE 4.x or 5.x. As I've sent the opinions earlier in August, or probably July, mid-July, right after the second chat, someone asked about Windows CE 6.0, and I did send an email regarding this. The CE 6.0 kernel is way different from CE 5.0, notably that it supports virtual memory up to 2 gigabytes. And by the way, I found some interesting note with virtual memory. I'll talk about it in a minute. And it supports running up to about 30,000 programs at once. Currently, CE 4 is limited to 32 programs at once. And it has a lot of improvements, such as allowing the flash to be used as a storage device instead of using putting the system files in RAM. This is why it's called Keysoft System Disk in the first place. And Keysoft System Disk no longer exists in CE 6.0. Everything happens under flash. The Bluetooth stack is improved to support Bluetooth object exchange and audio support, and so forth. More details, see my post and the two chats that we host about, specifically the second chat that we did on July 13th this year. So these are the notable changes under CE 6.0 kernel.
Although, if that's what exactly then is the Keysoft system disk, is that just extra 31 megabytes of RAM there, or what?
It is what's called a RAM disk. A RAM disk, in storage term, is a portion of the memory, the main memory, that is set up so that it acts as a storage medium. This is what's called a key. This is what's called RAM disk, and key subsystem disk is the RAM disk itself. Under CE, up to CE 5.0, everything that has to do with system is stored in the RAM disk, known as main memory. Although in Brno, it's so called key subsystem disk. That's the key subsystem disk purpose is to store system files. And since the RAM is not solely used as program memory, after CE 5.0, the system files will be stored in flash, which significantly reduces the problems that were caused by deletion of files that you need to back up, especially sound files that you replaced, and having to reset everything after performing cold hard reset, more technically under MPAR software-based hard reset, as I call it personally.
Well, after the CE 6, what did they do with the RAM chip thing?
The RAM chip thing? I don't know what happens, but I do know that the RAM will be converted to the program memory. So the key subsystem disk will not exist under CE 5.0 or later, including 6.0. And Terry, welcome again after a second chat. So that's what happens in CE 6. But virtual memory, I did found that the RAM free space is displayed as percentage. But what I could find is that probably Alex might have noticed this. The virtual memory is always lower than the physical memory. If for example it says virtual memory 40%, storage program memory about 80%, and key subsystem disk 90%. This is just a made-up figure, but that explains a lot of why we had lockups with key sub 7.2, because virtual memory is used. Actually, no, I will explain just a few words. That the virtual memory has less free space than physical memory. This is true amongst computers with 32-bit access, where a operating system will use physical memory, and then it'll use virtual memory, but with greater extent because it has to store more data than what physical memory can access. And that explains a lot of why we had lockups. But with CE 6.0, you can address up to 2 gigabytes of virtual memory. That will eliminate the problem of frequent lockups that we experienced. That is my own reason why we should upgrade to CE 6.0, and I'm a strong advocate for that.
I guess HumanWare has not made any statement at this point, at least not that I've heard. Maybe you guys have heard something saying whether they're going to change, whether they're going to upgrade CE or not. Is that correct? We don't know about that yet.
On the second remote chat, they were kind of talking about it. I don't really know if there was like a final decision about it, but they did mention that they were looking at upgrading to CE 6, but I don't know.
Yeah, they never really gave us a definitive answer either way. And the RAM is a huge thing, and as Joseph was saying, the percentage, the way it's displayed now, is a whole lot nicer than the old way. And you can just watch as you do things, you can just watch your virtual memory drop lower and lower and lower, and you reach 1-2% free, and what do you know, it locks up. You might still have, 20-30% physical memory free, but the virtual memory, as soon as that's filled, you're done, and you've got to reset the whole thing, because there's no way to free the memory without resetting, which dumps everything out of it. CE 6 would also not only fix the RAM and the Bluetooth issues, it would give us PDF support, it would give us PowerPoint support, and a lot more things like that, and quite obviously that also depends on HumanWare writing Keysoft type applications for these newly supported functions. But assuming they do, then we can have the Brnlets can expand to do so much more than they can right now. But of course, HumanWare doesn't want to say they are or not, because if they say they are, then we expect it. And then when they don't right away, everyone gets mad on them. If they say they don't, then people aren't too happy with them, but at least they don't get in trouble when they don't meet their time frame.
Oh, sorry there, I had the control key down, because you know, when someone finishes talking, it will automatically put you in the queue and everything. But, were you still talking there? I couldn't tell.
No, the software I don't think will let you talk or cancel out anyone else. So as long as one person's talking, you can hold down your control key all you want. And I don't think it kicks anyone off. It's just as soon as they let up on theirs, yours will kick right in.
Yeah, that's right. And in fact, you can hold down the control key while I'm talking or someone else is talking to get yourself in the queue. And as soon as I release, then the next person in the queue will hear the little blip, which means you can start talking. So that's how that works.
That's what I meant. I just, Alex was still kind of talking, and it suddenly made the little bleeping sound. So I didn't know if he accidentally may have lit up on the key or what, but, you know. And kind of speaking of developing applications, this has also come out on the last two. They had developing an SDK.
An SDK would be wonderful. Apparently there was a survey, though, last year of a bunch of people who wanted it, and I never heard anything about it, and I was on the list at that time. Go figure. But I guess a lot of people that wanted the SDK only wanted it so they could develop games. So HumanWare, I guess, said they weren't going to invest the time and resources in giving people an SDK just so they could develop games. And then they didn't say it, but I guess they're sort of also figuring if somebody breaks their Braille Note by installing a faulty application, then they're going to blame HumanWare for it, especially in this day and age, which I think is kind of stupid. I mean, it's your own fault. But there are people that would do it, so HumanWare is also trying to save themselves a lawsuit in the process. At least that's the way I can figure it.
Although, the thing is, though, it's really frustrating to me, though, when people find, like, things like that and just go on lists and start screaming, you know. Like, the guilt, like...
One of the real frustrations that I've got right now is with Keysoft is I work in an environment where my colleagues are constantly sending me Word documents. And very often, the Braille Note will not open those documents, especially if they have a table or some complex formatting in them. The Braille Note won't even open them at all. And yet, you know, Keysoft claims to support Microsoft Word, and the support just really isn't there, at least in my experience with the documents that I need to be able to access.
Yeah, could you turn your microphone up? I can hardly hear you at all. Yeah, that's one of the things I really, really don't like about HumanWare is their marketing. They say it can support Keysoft Microsoft Word files, but what they don't tell you is they have to be 3.1, was it 97 or 2000, I want to say. As far as, you know, Keysoft 7.5, getting back to that for a second, they said that new USB and SDMMC drivers were part of it, but they'd released those for free. They'd released RFBD DAISY support for free in the form of Keysoft 7.21 build 54. And I just don't like a lot of how they work, their PR department, a lot of the times.
I agree with all you guys. The Word support definitely needs to be better, and I mean, it's been like this for years. I don't know why they're not doing more. I think that's once all the 7.5 issues have been squashed, and you know, with back translation, I think that for the next release, version 8 or whatever it's going to be called next year, whenever, they need to invest time in that. I think that's number one right now, along with, of course, HTML email. But I think Word support is really top priority over HTML email. I don't know. They're both really big issues in the moment. I mean, hard to say which one is really, you know, more needed.
Maybe they could release a patch too for the classic. It doesn't... I guess that was 7.5 was the last... last software upgrade for the classics.
Hi, it's Brian. Apparently, the MS Word file format problem, they need an awful lot of support from Microsoft because they keep changing the format of their Microsoft files. They keep changing the format of their Word file format with every release of Word.
Yeah, that's something they told us at the last chat. They are really trying to work with Microsoft. Microsoft isn't reciprocating a lot of it. So HumanWare is doing all they can as far as Word goes, but Microsoft just keeps altering things and making it harder and harder for Keysoft itself to keep up. Also, I think it was Maurice Sloan who was with us. I'm not sure who was with us during the last chat, I think the 13th. Anyway, he said that they're also trying to go above and beyond what the normal PDA can do with Word files. And I mean, that's all good and well, but I'd like to be able to support at least up to 2003 before getting all this incredible support for it. I mean, I'd like them to fix a lot of the things that are broken right now before adding a whole lot of new features.
Yeah, I agree with that. And because we've been using Word 2003 here for several years now, and seems like nothing has changed in the Word 2003 since it came out, substantially changed, and it's been several years and it never has been supported. That's what's frustrating to me.
Yeah, and I guess what they're saying is a lot of it's under the hood stuff that the user would never see, a lot of the underlying management of the of all the ASCII and all that stuff, and how MS Word handles everything. And I guess 2003 is so different from 2001 that the converter on the Braille node isn't able to keep up with it.
And they also mentioned, too, about the converter. They actually have a converter that goes in and changes the document there to present it in KeyBook or Keyword or whatever.
Well, it's interesting that a lot of these documents will open on the icon that I have, and will open on the voice sense that I have. So they're just not keeping up.
Yeah, I can't speak to the voice sense, but the icon is Linux-based. And I mean, I'm not making excuses for HumanWare. They should have set, but I guess there's things in Keysoft that make it a lot harder to do, whereas Linux is open source, and Linux is... It doesn't have to rely quite as much on Windows CE. I often wonder, actually, if part of the problem in CE itself, if they went to 6, I wonder how much more Word support they'd have just like that. But the icon, as I said, is Linux-based, not based on any version of Windows at all. So that might be a big difference right there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Of course, that's correct. But it's just interesting. I just think there are so many Braille notes out there as compared to a lot of the other devices. It's just interesting how slow that support has been to come. And it really may be because of needing to stay with Keysoft 4 because of the Classic. I'm sure there are a lot of variables that make it really complicated.
Well, the Keysoft 4 though, was the last release for the original Braille note, though. I think 7.5 is the release for the Classic. I don't know.
Yes, 7.5 is the final release for the Classic. And I know we're talking about the icon here, but the icon is definitely one very interesting device and definitely will have, definitely add some competition in the PDA market.
Absolutely. I listened to a tutorial on the thing, and my first thought was just, wow, that's incredible. I don't think I can ever like anything as much as my Braille note. I don't even know why sometimes, just because of some of the stuff it can't do, but it's just the best thing I've ever found. Probably because I started with the Braille and Speak, went right to the Braille note, and the Braille and Speaks, as a lot of you guys know, are just... They were good for when they were invented, but they're really not anything now. But the icon is... It's really going to give Braille note a run for its money with all its functionality and all it can do.
Definitely. I mean, with a 30-gig hard drive, I mean, no PDA is a 30-gig hard drive. You know, that's just one of the things.
Yeah, I've heard rumors, though, I guess they're not rumors anymore, of a 32 gig SD card. So we'll probably start seeing huge, huge, not in size, but in storage capacity, flash disks on these things. And there we go. That gives us that 2 gigs of RAM that Joseph said we could have if we had CE for 6.x. But, again, that would require a hardware upgrade. I'd be willing to do it.
And to... They're saying on the... speaking of promotions, they were saying that the phone supports up to 128 megabytes of internal flash. Well, that's kind of low for today's, you know. I mean, like, things like the Braille Sense, during the other competition, having its... I think it's a gig for a flash. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's a gig of flash. Sorry, I'm eating something. 64 megabyte RAM and 128 is internal flash and other some stuff. Kind of confused these days. You might want to talk to people from Jitter Microphone Voices. You might want to talk to Mark Mulcahy from LevelStar about this, and he was the one who also developed the software for Bro and Speaks. And speaking of the virtual memory, you can have as many as up to 2 gigabytes, so of virtual memory. So on the CE 6.0, you can directly assign up to 2 gigabytes for key subsystem disk, but it can arrange from, my ideal setting would be have at least 128 megabytes of virtual memory, because it seems that virtual memory uses double the amount of physical memory. That is my optimal choice.
Wonder too, if you have if you had 2 gigabytes then of virtual memory, would you be able to play, for example, audio like on the internet over what you have on the Keysoft system disk? But it is kind of annoying to have to go back in, because it says if you have it over, if the file size, for example, is over maybe 30 megabytes, whatever you have on your Keysoft system disk, it says run out of memory and you have to go and download the file, which I find streaming is actually faster than downloading if you want to download.
Yeah, and to that, I'm not sure why, but my Braille Note, every time I stream a radio station or something like that that has a constant stream, not just a file, I get anywhere between 30 seconds and 5 minutes of perfect streaming. It's just, it's great, you know, it streams perfectly, no skips or anything, and all of a sudden, it stops, and it'll start skipping around. And if it stops for 2 seconds, then when it starts again, it skips 2 seconds of whatever you're listening to and jumps ahead to the current location. And it'll keep doing that, and after, at most, 10 to 15 minutes, it'll drop it completely, and it'll go silent. It won't say you lost the server connection, but nothing, no audio will continue. And then, a little while after that, it will actually say, I don't know what the actual error message is, but it basically says that it lost the contact with the server and can't stream it anymore. And then if you restart the stream, the skipping starts a whole lot more quickly, and you basically have to reset before you can get another 30 seconds to 5 minutes of good streaming. And it's, sure, Braille can stream audio, but as far as radio stations go, it's really bad.
I found too, I'm not sure if this would help or not, but I found the Braille does a lot better with WinAmp streams. I was surprised it actually supported those, but it works a lot better with those. Because for me, I've tried running some of the Windows Media Player WAX streams, and it doesn't work as good.
Why? Because you remember I said to elect to use M2EU file codec for streaming. The reason is that stream files are actually downloaded for actual streaming. That's why you see around them. While it is streaming, your key stuff will take about 20 megabytes of RAM, which is about 55 to 60% RAM usage. And the welcome is Parsons.
That's why when I stream like ACB radio or something like that, I'll use Keynote Gold, because I find with Eloquence is very much much more memory intensive than Keynote Gold. And on top of the streaming, I find it able sometimes lock up completely, so I just switch to Keynote Gold when I stream any kind of audio.
Eloquence too, with the French accent sometimes. If you run lower on memory or something, I don't know what it is, but Alex, I think it was mentioned this on the last Spellnet chat, if you switch to Eloquence, it switches to French, which actually I noticed French isn't really supported in the KS 7.5. Well, I mean, there is the option of French in the language options, but even though the Brunel or Eloquence does have the French accent, it can't use French.
Yeah, that's whenever you switch into Eloquence, you're lucky. For me, anyway, I'm lucky to get it at all. That's part of the reason I don't even use it. It's memory intensive. It's not responsive. It takes anywhere from a quarter second to maybe three quarters of a second to respond to any key press. Reading of long passages is absolutely horrible. But aside from all that, as I said, I'm lucky to get into it. It's either pronouncing English as French, or it just stays in Kino Gold and offers me the Eloquence options as if I'd switched, even though it didn't. And as you were saying, even in Keysoft, even in Keysoft 7.5, there is no foreign language support for Eloquence. It's only Kino Gold, which is another thing I wish they would say in marketing 7.5. I mean, you know, they give us 7.0 Eloquence. Yeah, great. And then they give us 7.5 foreign language support. What they don't tell you is it's not going to work with Eloquence.
But what I wonder, though, is Eloquence does have that language, though. I'm not sure, but it does have the dialect, the French accent, and why wouldn't it work with that?
I don't get why. Yeah, I agree with you, guys. I mean, it's, they don't say in the press release that it's just Kino Gold. It's, you know, not great marketing there. But yeah, Eloquence does support languages, because, I mean, in Jaws, there is, you know, you can change your Eloquence languages, so I don't get why it's only restricted to Kino Gold.
Hey, in Jaws, you have 9. Like, you have, you know, American English, British English, Castilian Spanish, Latin American Spanish, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, it probably takes up more memory to add the additional languages. I'm not really sure. Anyone still here?
Yeah, just looking through other bugs, getting back to Keysoft 7.5, just more bugs in there, like the data entry mode in KeyPlus no longer works. They don't send email after receiving anymore when entering the inbox, and I know that's not a bug, but I really think that should be a user set option, because whenever I'd see an email, I'd reply to it, all I'd have to do is exit and then re-enter the inbox and it would send it, as well as receiving any new ones, so I didn't mind it at all. I mean, that was perfectly fine with me, and I don't know if I'm completely alone on that or not, but I wish they would leave that alone. And there are just a bunch of... I've got a list of about 14 of them here that I've compiled from my experience or from other people on the list. Like, it doesn't save anymore. The system can't load French Braille tables. In German, the Braille display remains blank and an exception is thrown when spell checking. Translating a block of text into computer Braille randomly places capital signs everywhere. When switching between Keymail and KeyWeb, you have to always tell it which configuration you want in KeyWeb, no matter what, which you didn't used to have to do. And I think that's in other applications as well. The built-in playlist support isn't in the order you mark them. It's in the alphabetical order they appear. I had my default word processor file type set to Microsoft Word, and it set that to keyword text. Glad I caught that in time. In the folder commands list, it still says you can move a folder, but as we know, that's impossible. Actually, I think that's it, surprisingly. That's the one I just wrote about, the third with Keynote Gold. And then all the email problems that some of us have described.
And you did something kind of funny. I was looking, this is back in 7.2, but I looked at it again just to see if it had changed, at the Dean Jackson thing, the Dean Jackson attribute in the extra product. It's kind of silly. What's up with the song on that?
Not sure, but I'd hate for some first grader to discover it.
Quite weird, actually. The song itself is called 8things.mp3 that is stored in the Windows folder on the Keysoft system disk. And, oh yeah, did you mention the DHCP error that I get? Some people get saying that Windows CE Networking DHCP was not able to obtain an IP address, even though I enabled the connection configuration to use DHCP. I think it is in the list of bugs that we got.
No, my list I don't have that. Actually, I got that the first time I plugged in my my network card, and then I didn't have any problems until yesterday. But I'm on a new college network, and I've never been on here before, so my brain load. Basically, you have to either have antivirus and register your device, or you just have to register the device, and I already convinced the guys that this thing can't run viruses, so they're all set with that. But it said there was a conflict with my hardware MAC address, so I had to go and check all that. But the DHCP really only happened to me once, and I also had DHCP enabled, and it said it wasn't allowed to, wasn't going to do it. I'm not sure.
Also, this one Eloquence bug that I found, this is not related to 7.5, but in general. If you type in C-A-E-S-U-R and two E's, Eloquence will crash.
Was it C-A-S-U-R-E?
No, C-A-E-S-U-R-E-E. Two E's at the end. C-A-E-S-U-R-E-E. If you type that with Eloquence running, your unit will freeze up and you'll have to do a simple reset.
Yeah, that was brought up on the list a little while ago, I think. And apparently the conclusion was we're running a slightly outdated version of Eloquence. We don't have the newest one on the brand notes yet. And that was an acknowledged problem by who makes it? I think Eloquent Technologies. Whoever makes Eloquence has said, yeah, we know that happens, and it's fixed in the latest version, but big surprise, Brillo doesn't have the latest version.
It's the version that they have, I believe, is Eloquence 5.0. The latest is Eloquence 6.1 from Nuance. And I was the one who brought that up, and I forwarded that message to Blind Geekstone and Blind Cool Tech. A member of the Blind Cool Tech list said, indeed confirmed what really went wrong. The guy said that it was present in 2005 when that particular list had some email spoofing problems, and that the perpetrator had apparently sent those seizure messages intended to crash Eloquence. I was the one who brought that up, and it was confirmed on the BCT list back in, I believe it was May of this year when this happened. And the burnout list did confirm its existence. Based on the voice characteristics that I can find with Eloquence and the voice list that I can find, it only has 5 voices, whereas Eloquence 6.1 and later has 8 voices.
It would be nice too if they would rearrange it to where instead of being, you know, like in JAWS they have names, but in Brillant they have, you know, adult male, adult female, child, you know, the others they have like Reed, Shelley, Bobby, you know, and others.
I wish we could get some of the real speak, ScanSoft voices or AT&T voices, stuff like that. I know they take a lot of memory, but I wonder if we get enough RAM, if all these speech delay problems and Eloquence will go away, and eventually if we can start loading on external voices, because that'd be incredibly nice. And I love Keynote Gold more than any other synth I've ever heard. I know a lot of people don't agree with me on that, but if we could just have, you know, external voices, then that'd be even better still.
What about eSpeak?
I think Keynote Gold is excellent. I mean, it's very accurate, very responsive. Excellent synth.
Yeah, I've only found 2 problems, and I've brought them up on the list before and sent them to Humanware, but obviously nothing's happened with them. Exclamation points aren't pronounced at all. Actually, 3. Semicolons are pronounced like periods, and if you type a capital I, it doesn't raise the pitch at all. It just speaks it like a lowercase I. If you backspace over, it'll say cap I, like it does for any other letter. But actually writing it in, it doesn't raise the pitch.
I think also if you write his, you know, the dropped, what's the dropped H? 236, I think if I'm right. It doesn't say that either when you hit, you know, you're going to go in word by word.
That's strange. Speaking of, though, that's another thing I meant to bring up today. I don't know if it's because of UEB or what, but BrailleNote doesn't speak contractions anymore. Instead of saying T-H-E when you type it in, it says 2346. And, I mean, I tried UEB for half a day and then had some trouble switching back, as some of you guys know because I posted the list in panic. I wasn't able to get my computer Braille back. But anyway, I guess maybe it's because of UEB and how it has to take so many symbols just for one print symbol, but these contractions are gone, so you just have to hear the dots you're speaking unless you're actually typing in a letter. And that got on my nerves really fast.
Yeah. That is a UEB thing, though. And it was just kind of weird. I was like, I was just trying out UEB. I was like, hey, whatever. And I was going to certain websites, and I figured out you actually entered the address in grade 2. It was kind of funny, because I kept getting these weird search box things saying, sorry, this page could not be found. It'd be like this weird, it'd have like these weird arrow symbols and stuff in my address.
Yeah, I have seen that bug with UEB, although I think also in UEB the 2 sign, the 235, is gone, supposedly. But, yeah, so I messed with UEB, but now I'm using computer Braille exclusively until the grade 2 stuff is fixed.
Yeah, the UEB was, I had no idea what I was doing, and then I figured out if you're anywhere where you can actually type and you're set to UEB, if you hit on a BT backspace with 3-5, just like you were going to insert a Unicode character, it gives you this huge list of all the UEB symbols, which I didn't know before, and it says their dot configurations, and it tells you, it lists the configuration, and then it tells you individually which dots they are, both in speech and in Braille. So that's nice. But again, these translation errors are stopping me from doing it. But what I found really helpful was it's I didn't know this before, but it's basically a combination of Nemeth and Grade 2. So you have your Grade 2 contractions, your space saver's there, and then you have all these symbols for everything from math to science to programming to just about everything. I mean, I was really surprised at what all was there. And if I ever get it finalized, I might start switching out of my computer Braille and into that, because it seems like you can do just as much as computer Braille can, if not more, plus you retain Grade 2.
And to it, there are a couple more contraction things I have noticed. Even things like computer, for instance, the COM, it used to be dash or 36 PUT. ER, you know, but now they changed it to COM. Instead of having the dash, it's COM. And like the menu option, the main menu says for the options menu, press space with O anywhere. Instead of having the for and the together, it's for space the.
Hello, I just wanted to say hi, guys, and it's very interesting what you're talking about. And I'm sorry I'm late, but as a trainer, and that's mainly why I dropped in here, because I'm not a programmer at all, and I don't even have an MPower here at my house, but it sounds like what you're saying is that people shouldn't upgrade until things are fixed. So that's essentially what I knew when I came in here, but it's nice to have you confirm what I came to as far as what I'm thinking, because it sounds like there's more things wrong than just the translator. I have a feeling they just put this out kind of on the fly. I don't know what they were thinking. But the Unicode Braille sounds interesting, though. I have some material on it here. I'm going to take a look at it. I haven't had a chance to. Been too busy. But keep talking, guys. This is interesting.
Something too though, if you don't really use Bat Translator, you're pretty good to upgrade though, because pretty much the thing is in the Bat Translator. Of course there is like, you know, speech and everything else, but it's pretty much the Bat Translator.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty much the Bat Translator though. I don't know though if the Unified English Bro Code, I mean it might get accepted in the US, but who knows? I guess that we'll see as time goes on.
Well, as they're saying, the Bat Translator is the main problem. And then, again, I've got a list of now 14 errors that can occur. About 10 of them occur in every machine. 10 to 12 of them occur in all machines. And a lot of that depends on what you use it for. Like, one of them's a little calculator thing that you can easily work around by not using a shortcut key. You know, things like that. But I forgot what else I was going to say. But according to, I think Marie said it, Marie Sloan at Humanware, they should have a fix within a couple days for the back translation issue, and hopefully they'll work on a patch for some of the other issues that were introduced in this. But their main rush, they kind of had to release it as soon as possible, because the SSL secure socket layer support for a lot of email programs is now being implemented in the month of September. So to give people, BrailleNote users, the same access as everyone else has, they had to release it by September so that people could continue to use their email accounts with no interruption of service. So any bugs, I'm sort of attributing to their haste to get it out so the SSL would be there. If it were me, I'd have just released an SSL patch for 7.2 and finalized this, but I don't work there, so that's why it was rushed out, though.
I do like, though, I don't know if this is a new bootloader thing or a Keysoft 7.5 thing, but I think it was, I don't remember, I think it was Brendan? I'm not sure. Anyway, he mentioned if you do a standard reset in Keysoft 7.5, it will say, instead of the Braille display being blank, it will say starting Keysoft. Until like a couple seconds after, or until Keysoft starts. And then I added, if you start Keysoft with debug mode on, which if you press reset with dots 4.6, and when that loads, press C, which they don't document that at all. That's like a toggle mode for debugging on and off. Anyway, if you turn debugging on and say press D, or go to the start Keysoft option, it will say starting Keysoft debug or something. I don't know, but yeah.
Well, I will explain this. The other thing, if you use Keysoft and Keysync 2.0, you should not upgrade to 7.5. Although Humanware said Keysoft 3 is on its way. What happens is this. It was since bootloader 2.0 when the starting Keysoft message was started. I don't see the debug mode because I don't have 32 cell. I only have 18 cell. What will happen is this. When the reset is pressed, it'll start in bootloader mode. And it'll automatically select start Keysoft option. When you do that, starting Keysoft message will appear. The reason why you'll see starting Keysoft or starting Keysoft in debug mode after the startup music is heard, because the startup music means what you've thought of. You've thought startup music meant startup Keysoft. No, startup music meant startup Windows CE. After that, when Keysoft takes over, it'll say Keysoft CE version and so forth. The starting Keysoft thing was present ever since bootloader 2.0, at least what I can gather. When I had bootloader 1.8, it didn't say anything. But with bootloader 2.0, it started that.
I wonder though, when did they release 2.0? Because I had bootloader version 1.8 up until I upgraded to 7.5.
When did you purchase your BrailleNote?
Actually, I got it from the Lions Club around around February 2006, I think.
Then probably that was when Bootloader 1.6 was around. Probably my thinking is that it might have been released around July 2006. Because when I tested Brown out the Korean version in October last year, it was up to Bootloader 2.4.
Now, just to toss this out real quick, I'm looking at the whole debug thing, and I obviously have 2.7 because I'm running KS75, but it just says debug start, and it's kind of strange because I hit C, and it said debug on, and then I hit D, and it said debug start as it started up Keysoft, and then I went in back into Bootloader, hit C again, it said debug off, and then I hit D, but it still says debug start, so I'm not sure what's up with that. But I had two M-Powers. The first one I had to exchange for my second one because of some ongoing issues that HumanWare couldn't fix. And the first one didn't say starting Keysoft, and it had hardware revision, I want to say H1. It's either H1 or 6. One's that M-Power and one's the classic. I can't remember which one's which. And then I got my newer one, the exchange one, which has RVC6S, and that one does the starting Keysoft thing, and I think I had Bootloader 2.4. I'm not sure if the Bootloader or the hardware revision does it, and I never even knew there was a Bootloader menu or anything like that until I think about 6 months ago when Matthew Horsepool discovered it and emailed it, but just the hardware revision could make a difference, I'm not sure.
Me though, I haven't sent my Brahma for servicing or battery replacement yet, which was something I was kind of bummed about, because they just had the Brahma convention a couple months ago, and they the list people said they'd probably have the key shop thing, but they didn't. But I was hoping I could have gotten my battery and Braille display cleaned and whatnot. And actually, I'm still using the RVC2, but yeah.
Maurice mentioned that on the second chat that they need some more funding to bring Keyshop back. And speaking of the bootloader, it is independent of the hardware version. The C2 and C6S have the same bootloaders. So when I got the M-Power back in June 2006, I got bootloader version 1.8, and mine was C2. And after the some maintenance in September, I got the C6S was the same bootloader as previous one, with bootloader 1.8. And when I tested the Korean burnout, it said RV6S with bootloader 2.4. So this is independent of the hardware setting. And I discovered bootloader around June, the first day that I got it, when we had to upgrade to Keysoft 7.0. The part of the instruction was to boot to bootloader first and then install some bootloader file. That's when I discovered it. And I did play with it since September last year. The knowledge which I already knew about the debug mode, so that's the one that I've used to send debug information to a couple people, including some HumanWare staff like Jonathan, Andy Ryden, and other folks like Matt and so forth. Well, it's around 120 right now, so we'll see.
So, see, just kind of a comment to, I like, some people don't, but I like the, when the bootloader loads, it's kind of funny, because it makes, like, the weird, like, really, really, really old game console, you know, like the type things. It's kind of funny.
Speaking of bootloader, I'm in the menu right now. How do I start Keysoft with no debug or anything? I just want to start Keysoft like normal. Hitting enter on start Keysoft doesn't do a thing except give me a little buzzer message. You said though it does sort of sound like an old game console.
Just press reset switch and it'll trigger the reset again, and it'll start Keysoft.
Although, if you start Keysoft like right after you turn debug off, it still says starting debug or whatever, Although next time you do a reset, it should say starting KeySoft. I'm not sure though about the... For me, I just, instead of using the start KeySoft option, I just push D. Because as far as I know, there are four of these, the menu options. There's update KeySoft, which is A. Update bootloader, which is B. Debug, which is C. And then starting KeySoft, which is D. I don't know if there are any others.
Just a question. Hopefully everybody can hear me okay, but my question is, I thought regarding the translator, I thought the Duxbury translator was already being used in some of the older versions, like in KeySoft 5 or 6. Though, like I said, I could be wrong, but I thought that's what it was already using at the time. But apparently it wasn't, but... Anyway, because from what I thought, there was at one point when I was looking at the what's new in one of the older versions, I thought that it was, or there was a rumor, I guess, before it had been released that they were going to use that, and I think 5 or 6, but I guess they never did. So my question is, what was used before they used the Duxbury? What was used originally to translate back and forth?
It actually was Duxbury. In KeySoft 7.5, they updated it because they were using like a really, really old version. I don't remember what it was though. I think it was like version 4, and they upgraded to version 10. I don't know. Maybe like Joseph or someone can put more on that.
They used an older set of Braille translators that Schumacher used. That's why you had things like Braille exceptions table, where it was reported that some symbols were not displayed correctly. So if you add some strings to it in the Braille exceptions table, the symbol will be displayed correctly. And I did use an old original Braille note with KeySoft 3.06 to know what really went. The Duxbury support was released with version 5.0 of KeySoft back in 2003. No, the D command on the bootloader 2.0 or higher is debug start. It no longer goes to KeySoft. And the update KeySoft is actually number 1 or A on the VT. Update bootloader is number 2, or this is for QT, and B on the BT. See, both units are, that's for debug, D for both units at debug start, starting KeySoft in debug mode. I didn't find the command to start KeySoft within the bootloader itself, although reset does work. We have to press .4 on the BT. I don't have any information about the QT equivalent to go to start KeySoft and press enter on that and restart it. So ever since version 2.0 of the bootloader, D command will not work. D command is used for debug start. With 1.8 or earlier, it will start KeySoft when you press D.
I wonder though then if that's debug start. I was wondering too, what exactly does debug mode do? Because I know it uses the serial port. I had a really interesting time figuring that out when I was using ActiveSync. I had to like do a few service resets, put it in different modes and everything until I figure out it was debug mode. But yeah.
I'm wondering, did any prior, like KeySoft 7, for example, did that include a bootloader file? Because I'm wondering if, I was checking the humor site and I was saying maybe 7.2 came with a bootloader file, because I thought that maybe if I could find the bootloader file in the previous one, I could somehow downgrade that and reinstall 7.2.
KeySoft 7.2 package had the bootloader file. That was what I was looking for last night, but I couldn't find it. Debug mode is used for troubleshooting. You need to actually enable visual display. I haven't tried it yet, but I'm going to try it sometime in September. I have an hypothesis that since visual display uses serial link, I thought Hyper Terminal will be used, still be used for visual display. Keyview, I did try Keyview. It just only opens the screen with the read only text on it. Debug is pretty useful for troubleshooting problems that was causing Keysoft to fail, for example, lockups and so forth. When debug is enabled, in addition to the texture message, the binary code will be sent to the visual display in question, for example, Hyper Terminal under Windows. Which, if you save that in binary information and the textual information as a text file, then the humanware developer will be able to read it and match it with the instructions, match up with the program code, and it'll determine what's wrong with it and be able to duplicate it based on the textual and binary information.
Hmm. Sounds pretty cool. Setmel 2, this is kind of off topic, but Joseph, I tried the, you know, in the second bullet chat you mentioned Keysoft version 2, but I had tried running it in compatibility mode for 95, and it still says invalid INS file. I noticed there were several of those in the directory. Is that like a computer model thing, or I don't know?
Keysoft 2.0 was released for MS-DOS, so it ran with under MS-DOS 6 and under. And there's a specific thing called Keynote Companion in the Brill Companion, which was released way before Brill was released in 2000. It was around 1990s. Matthew Horspool will be able to tell you more about it. It had Keysoft 2.2.x, was able to run MS-DOS window, MS-DOS applications and so forth. Keysoft 2.0 is running on top of MS-DOS as an application, not an interface, but as an application. And the reason why is that it requires Windows 95, although it runs on top of MS-DOS, the INI file, there is a specific INI file that Keysoft 2 requires, but it's not present when Windows 95 is run. You have to go to DOS window and run Keysoft from there.
Thing is, though, it isn't INI file, it's INS, like, S is in Sierra. I noticed, too, I tried running in the DOS, the command or CMD, tried both of those, but it still says, it brings up as kind of its own window, it says, inactive Keysoft demo, and then invalid INS file. I have to go with JAWS and click the close symbol.
For that, I have no info regarding Windows 9X and that INS file that's missing. What time is it? Well, it's already 1:36. Any other things to throw out?
I do have one thing that's kind of like a funny thing, but has anyone yet discovered any new Keysoft 7.5 hidden features? Like, you know, the Tetris thing, for instance, you know, you actually have to go in the product key and type in playtime, but things like that. Any new features yet like that, though?
I don't know. This is documented, but I didn't discover it until 7.5. It may not have been here until then. It probably was here earlier. But what they call quick marks, and apparently if you go into the block commands menu, you can immediately block off the current character word section and paragraph, or character word sentence and paragraph, I think it is. And I never knew about that until I just happened to be looking through the manual for something else. I saw quick marks, and I thought, oh, what's that? Probably something to do with Daisy. Daisy, I opened it up, and there it was. So I don't know if that's new with 7.5 or what, but I'd never heard of it or seen it before until I actually installed 7.5. So as far as any other Easter eggs, though, I don't think there are. Joseph and I have sort of kept you all up to date on the DOS things that are you can do with a Braille mode. Friday, when I was trying to put my when I was trying to put my brain load on this school network, I discovered that you can just run MAC address from the application under utilities and just hit enter at the command line, and it'll give you your MAC address with no problems. Strange thing is, though, you can't output that to a file. Go figure. A bunch of other DOS stuff that you can do, you know, searching files, searching your system for different file names, file extensions, it'll give you all that stuff. You can write those to a file. There are a lot of limitations as far as DOS goes, though. You can't do time or date, apparently. Obviously, clear screen isn't going to work because it doesn't allow you to... It can't write directly to the screen anyway, and it can't accept direct input. So you have to run everything you want to run from the command line. And as far as I know, there is no way to run multiple files, multiple commands, at one typing session before you hit enter. And batch files didn't work too well. They never did quite what I expected they would. So I think that's about it, though. And the DOS thing has obviously been around since Keysoft was invented. If you just go to utilities, CMD, and then at the command line you type whatever you want DOS to do with slash C or slash K, slash C will keep the shell open, slash K will run everything and then close it, I'm pretty sure.
yeah. The quick mouse thing, it was somewhere on the manual with 5.x and 6.x, but apparently it was removed and reinstated again. I discovered a quick mouse feature when I used help key. The other thing that I discovered, accidentally of course, is you can in fact mark the start of a block. You don't have to go to block menu to do this. You can just mark a beginning of a block by pressing backspace and M, Control Shift M on QT. It'll say top of block, which is a pretty cool thing because you can then move around the text, move around your document, and then press cursor at the end of the block, and you can just go to block commands, and then you can do whatever you want. With the backspace M, Control Shift M is sort of like F8 command, F8 key on Microsoft Word.
I do have kind of a suggestion too. I knew this before 7.5, and I knew it in 7.0 because of the command thing. But I noticed in the Keysoft 7.0 with its games interpreter. It's running JZIP. I know JZIP is really kind of out of date, unless maybe they change it. But you know, like there are ones like Frots. I don't know how you pronounce that, or WinFrots that run, and they have a lot more features, like multiple undo support for. Like timing events, blorb format, some media, things like instead of saying it's automatically closing, it says, like if you quit, it says hitting a key to exit, so you can kind of review the last thing, or you can undo if you accidentally push something. You know, things like that.
I noticed in 7.5 that there's no... What's new? Well, of course, it's the README, but I know it's in 7.2 for some reason they have the What's New section in the user guide. But in the 7.5, there wasn't a What's New section. Although I do notice that the Getting Started chapter is a little different.
The other thing that I noticed about the user guide is for some apparent reason, they put checking current time in chapter 2, where it should be placed in chapter 1. Right after discussing the serial point, parallel point, before it goes to Bro Terminal, it says current time with section number 2.7 for some unknown reasons.
I guess somebody should write to Maurice or, well, not sure who does the manual now, but that's an attempt to Maurice or Jonathan Sharp, but whoever updates the manual needs to fix that at some point.
I don't know. I noticed, you know, the a week ago maybe there was someone that said they found inconsistencies and problems with the manual. I almost wonder if that would be Maurice Sloan to report that to. I'm not sure, because I know he does some of that stuff. I don't know. And for Alex or Joseph, one of you, how did you find the searching for files in DOS?
Well, it's kind of somehow, it is a bit confidential. We don't want to fully reveal who gave us that tip off. But I'd like to point out that it was one of the humanware developers. It is not Jonathan Sharp nor Andrew Ryder who left. It is someone else in humanware who gave us that tip off. I received the email first, and then I forwarded it to Alex Parks. I thought I had an idea to forward it to Matthew Horsford, so he can play around with it. And I was thinking of also to forward it to Kevin Chow so he would know about it, but I guess I didn't. The only person that I was thinking at the time was Alex Parks, so I forwarded to him. There we had a technical author, Kate Daisler, who had a baby probably last year, probably this year. And she said last year that she's going to take about an year and a half off for parental reasons. And it is time for her to come back right now, around this time around. Because when we had Kate there in the email list, we would have wrote to kate.daisler, D-A-S-L-E-R, @humanware.com. regarding tech manual, and she would give us some answers regarding this. I think we have a replacement, but I forgot who the replacement technical author is right now, but I think the time is near when Kate Daisler will return as technical author. Usually Kate Daisler is the person that you want to contact if you have manual questions or manual issues. So I don't know the new technical author, but that's technical authors are the ones who write the manual. So these are the people that you might want to contact if you have manual issues.
Hey, you couldn't send me that email or anything, could you?
Well, I also received an email separate from the one that Joseph sent me from the same person at Humanware, and the person basically just described pretty much what the whole thing is. If you know DOS commands, you can enter them at the command line of cmd.exe, which is under /keysoftsystemdisk/windows. You can enter multiple commands, but in theory you can run batch files, .bat files, if they're stored in the root directory that is the NUN folder of the Keysoft system disk. But I haven't gotten that actually to work fully yet for some reason, but you can do things like if you type /c /dir /s/ and then your search term using multiple character wildcards, stars. If you want to search for all files, it's *.*. If you want to search for a certain name, it's file name dot extension, so on and so forth. I wrote a complete email about all this. But basically, you can enter one DOS command at a time into the command line of CMD, and then at the end of that, before you hit enter, you type greater than sign. I don't know it in English computer braille, because as strange as it sounds, I only use Spanish computer braille. Long story about that one. Anyway, you type greater than sign space output file dot extension. Normally it's a .txt file, so you'll type, search.txt or whatever it is, and you can toss a directory on that. If you want it in the flash disk general folder, you type greater flash disk /general/search.txt. And just one more quick note, if you have anything that has a space, you have to put it in quotes. So if you're looking for a file name with a space in it, you wouldn't just type file name dot extension, you'd put file name, whatever it is, if it has spaces, you put quote file name dot extension quote. And same thing with the output file, because you don't have a space between the flash and disk. You have to put that in quotes as well. So it'd be command greater quote flash disk / general / search.txt quote, and then you'd hit enter. And depending on what you told it to do, your system might run sluggishly for about 5 seconds until it finishes doing whatever it's doing. And then it'll return to normal as soon as it's done. And as soon as it does return to normal, you can check your output file and look at the results of whatever it is you've done. As I said, though, a lot of things don't seem to work, like time and date don't work. Obviously, the things like clear screen aren't going to work, stuff like that. Help does. Help is really helpful. No pun intended. I couldn't think of another way to put that. It'll give you a complete list of commands that Windows CE will accept. Not that Keysoft will accept, but that CE would. And you can just try them. The same guy who wrote all this DOS stuff said it's extremely hard to break your Braille note. Basically, as long as you keep a backup of your flash disk, and he didn't say it, but I recommend removing all cards from the unit before trying something new. You know, searching is fine. You can leave those in there and it'll just search them. But that's about it. Just back up all your stuff, and you basically can't break it. If worse comes to worse, do a service reset, and you're all set normally.
Hi, it's Brian. I've got a scram because I'm going out for dinner. Thanks for the great chat, Joseph, and see you on the list. Bye.
Although, Brian, I don't know if you're still here or not, but I would like to thank you for the awesome posts, like things like I know I've already done this, but you know, a couple days ago when the emails on 7.5 were still really, really, really high. You know, you mentioned the thing with holding your breath, counting to 10, you know, all that stuff. And then the other email about with the soldiers in Keysoft 7.5.
Often humorous, he meant the developers. Batman, he meant developers. There was a funny post about it called "Hold the Fort, the soldiers are on their way," and so forth. He basically meant calm down. Any other questions to throw out? I guess we're reaching the 2-hour mark within just a few minutes. So I guess the summary of the chat would be that although Keysoft 7.5 has new features, it has numerous bugs that needs to be prioritized and be worked on in order to ensure that Roner becomes more stable. My opinion would be that HumanWare should have put a lot of effort on beta testing cycle to find these kind of bugs more efficiently and to more quickly, and so it can be can be resolved by the time of release. And I hope that HumanWare will release a patch soon to address these issues that we've been experiencing for the past few days. HumanWare apparently has suspended the download of Keysoft 7.5 bin file because of these. And it seems that the same things that had happened again with greater consequences, but just like they've done last year, they're going to release a patch soon to fix these.
Maurice did say on the list that it will probably be fixed, at least the translation, in the next couple of days. I'm sure that that's going to be top priority, and I'm sure that it'll be fixed sometime in the next few weeks. Because I'm sure that they know, of course, that they have a lot of customers who do back translation, and they don't want to leave them hanging, so I'm sure that that'll be fixed very, very soon.
Yeah, the only other thing, I mean, I just hope that it doesn't take them 2 months like it did from 7.2 build 43 to board to 47. And I really hope that they get some of these older issues fixed, like how I haven't posted it to the list yet, but I figured out that the only time the Braille note erases an email that you're writing is if you switch to another application and then switch back into that email. As soon as you do that, then you know that you're going to lose the email, so you better copy it to your clipboard so you can paste it into a fresh one. but apparently switching out and switching back in deletes emails. You know, there are a lot of things like that that really should be addressed in a patch. We shouldn't have to wait for 8, pay for it, just to get things that should have already worked to work, because that's ridiculous. That's all I have.
And something too, someone's talking to you about putting the control characters in emails. You know, things like LT and GT. I'm sure Alex probably knows this already, but those are HTML. There's LT and GT are like less than and greater than. If you put those things like in HTML, if you have and, like the and sign, and then put something like AMP, like which is an ampersand, or GT or LT, you know, things like that, it will, and then have a semicolon, it will translate to greater than or less than. But yeah.
I never noticed that. So you're saying if you put HTML commands in an email, even though Brownload isn't supposed to support HTML emails, then someone receiving it with an HTML email interpreter will be able to, will open it, and it'll look like HTML, not the code, but the result of the code, as if you'd opened it in a web browser?
I'm not really sure. I just meant like in emails, like in email addresses that I had, you know, some people reported like seeing LT or things like that at the end of the emails or email addresses. So I don't know if you can do that with putting it in the message or not, but yeah.
Okay, I see what you mean. The really odd thing about that, the whole adding control characters to the end, though, is it only ever happens with the BrailleNote at list.humanware.com address. I've never, ever had it happen to any other address. It's just that BrailleNote one. And I think that's the experience of most other people, too, so I'm not sure why that does that.
Maybe it's getting the error and the grizzlings confused.
Yeah, that's another thing, though. I mean, they really should fix all this basic stuff that all of it really came about after 7.2 build 43, and 47 fixed some of it, but the rest of it has remained. It's still plaguing us. I mean, if you're using 7.0 or earlier, you're not affected by it. But after 7.2, 43, or 47, you're pretty much stuck, and they haven't fixed really any of it yet.
Yeah, like, I'm still using the Hotmail interface, but when I look at the mail-to-web thing, it would be nice if you didn't have to pay for POP access. But I was looking at the exchange.mail-to-web.com. Has anyone had any experience with mail-to-web? Like, do they know, will it work?
Yeah, it works for me.
I use mail-to-web on my PC sometimes if I'm away from, or on a PC, but I have actually looked at the website, the exchange section of it, but I don't know how that works, because it's something that I think you have to actually pay for to get, but I have checked it out, and it seems like, I'd have to mess around with something on KeyWeb. I can't use KeyWeb, unfortunately, with mine, because it's way too old, and I don't have a BrailleNote that's updated to the point where I could use it, but it seems to me that, I mean, the best way to do it would be to try and see what happens, but I have checked that section out, and rather it works with screen readers or on the PC or not to change the subject, but rather it works on the PC, I have no idea. It would, be interesting to find out how that goes.
I don't know about the exchange part, I've never heard of that, but the rest of it works. Except that because BrailleNote is CE 4.2, it's not going to be able to do FTP and won't upload files, so you can't attach anything to an email that you write.
Is GWY or GWI a mail-to-web server?
Has anybody had success, one quick question, with RFB and D-Books, or have the UAKs not been released yet for using RFB? I know it is supported in 7.5.
Haven't used them yet. I'm still wondering how we're going to get them off a CD and onto a card. I mean, I looked at an RFB CD and there were like 67 files for one book. And maybe BrailleNote's able to look at those 67 files and say, oh, it's one book, just like it can with the new ones. with the 4 or 5 files used for another regular DAISY download. But I think the UAKs were released already. Don't quote me on that, though. I haven't actually contacted RFB. I haven't had to yet. But I think they said they're supposed to be released mid-August. So they should be. I think they cost like $20 or something like that.
Well, don't forget that the other DAISY books, you know, that are only 4 or 5 files, those are text DAISY from my Bookshark, the periodicals, whereas these books are completely audio, so you have all the audio to deal with, too. So that's why it's probably only 1 files. But I think, just like with the Packmate, because they support RFB, too, with their FS Reader, you just copy the whole content of the CD onto the card, I guess. I mean, it's only... I assume it's how it would work, because unless you have to... I mean, I don't know if there are USB CD-ROM drives if you'd use one of those, but that's just what I'm assuming. You copy contents to your thumb drive or compact flash card, or SD card. And, you know, those cards are definitely increasing in size, and prices are dropping, so...
There is a post that says... a USB drive CD-ROM does work. I don't know the model offhand, but there was a post about it that a USB CD-ROM drive has been found that it works well. You need to basically copy the MP3 files from the CD to your card, everything that is in the CD, and create a folder. You should name the folder exactly as the title of the book that you're going to listen to, and then copy the files to the folder. And then you can press enter the folder name and the book reader, and it will present the file name. Such as that, if there's a textbook folder, then it will present the textbook as a book name. And you can press enter and play it, and you can enter the PIN number. I have no information about that, but from the last time that I experimented with it, it worked, except the PIN number. Now, the RFB support is here. You can download it, you can get a UAK and PIN numbers automatically good to go. You can enter the PIN number, of course. And that's what I can find.
I guess, too, the things like the MP3 files, also for the RFBND. I don't know about how the RFBND works, but for things like JAWS, they're actually just one MP3 file. And they have all the .htm, I guess, which is the actual thing, I'm not sure, the actual text. And there's, the... I think it's SMIL files. I'm not sure what they are, but, yeah. So I guess pretty much what it does is seeks through the MP3 to go to a different section. I'm not really sure. I haven't looked into that.
One thing that's interesting is I hear that RFB indeed will soon be incorporating text into the DAISY book, so you have text and audio. And of course, people with Braille display, that'll be fantastic, being able to have both the audio and the text, and you can switch between both. Of course, with the Victor Reader Stream, you can do that, but of course, you don't have a Braille display output, but...
I was actually under the impression that the books you got on CD already had text on them. I don't know why, but I always just assumed they did. I thought that was what the HTML files were for and all that stuff. Well, if they don't, that's a bit of a disappointment, but it's not a huge deal. I don't even have my brain load authorized yet. I'm not sure I'll need to. I'll have to see how many DAISY books I have for college this year, and how often I actually use them, because I've got the Victor, the Victor Vibe, which is okay, but the other thing, though, on the Braille notes, I hate to see how long it's going to take to load one of these DAISY books. You know, it takes long enough just to load a little newspaper or a book or something in regular DAISY, but to have to manage 67 files at once, the Braille note's probably going to take an incredible amount of time.
Yeah, I had the Vibe as well, and also the Bookport. I'm interested, though, in how it's going to work with the Braille. And also, the Victor Reader Stream sounds very interesting. That's another device that I've, I'm looking into. And looking forward to getting my hands on one sometime soon.
I forgot to mention this too, but I do have a USB drive in an enclosure. Or not, it's not a USB drive, but it's a CD burner type thing. I just have like a standard enclosure for it that hooks up to the USB. It's powered by the electricity, like from the wall type things or whatever, but just gonna see if it works in 7.5. I don't know.
The KeyCD ROM support has always been available since KeyStop 7.2. Oh well, we'll see. We'll see what the human world posts and message telling us the updated giving us an updated hardware compatibility list, including CD ROMs, DVD drives, and so forth. It's 2 o'clock now, so are there any other things to discuss? Whoa, the event went very fast. Oh, so well, or are there any no more questions then? Then I guess I call this to a close. Well, thanks for, well, I've originally planned to have it for about 2 hours, so I guess that's 2 hours now. So, I do thank you all of you to joining us for the third, and I guess I call it unofficial burnout chat, since it was hosted right after Keys of 7.5 was released. Do you want us to have another chat by end of September, around September 22nd?
That'd be fine with me. That should allow HumanWare the time to release their patch, hopefully patches, and to get a lot more people will probably have the DAISY support from RFB, so we can sort of see how that's going for them. 22nd is on a Friday, isn't it? Yeah. So that should work.
Wait, I forgot. Never mind, sorry.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think that'd be great, and see where HumanWare is, you know, as far as patches and how things are, you know, in that time, you know, how they've progressed.
Saturday. Alex, Saturday the 22nd. I guess this is not a good time. I guess Monday is, although it is a Labor Day, it's not a really an efficient time. Good time to host it because many of us are on vacation or in holidays right now. Probably 22nd to Saturday will be a good time because many more people will be able to join us, about 20-30 people. Thereby we can have more lively chats. And a human representative who lives in the U.S. can join us to participate and to answer questions just like the second chat. And there'll be more topics that we can discuss beyond what we've discussed today. So I guess that concludes the official part of the chat. Well, this is the time that I want to stop the recording and I'm going to put it up on the Blind Geek Zone website. Probably tonight. I'm going to post it tonight. I'm going to email Rick Harmon. And he might post it along with my 5th Burnout podcast, which talks about upgrading procedures and behind the scenes at what really happens when you upgrade. So, thanks everybody. Thanks everyone for joining us for this wonderful chat. And I hope to see you on the list, on and off list, and another chat that will be coming soon, if we can set the time for it. So, thanks everyone.
Yeah. Speaking of the list, Joseph, are you going to post the summary of it, or do you want me to? I didn't keep specific notes this time, because basically we just sort of debriefed the bugs on it and kind of talked about what we'd like to see done, mainly with CE6, but didn't know if you wanted to just post that real quick or if you wanted me to do it.
Probably I have to listen to the file again, because we discussed so many things. I'm going to probably write a quick summary of what we discussed today, and if you have time, you can just go over the a question answer session, the thing that you've done a first and second chat, probably. or you can do the announcement for the another future chat on the 22nd if we get the time and date right. So basically, I'm going to write a summary probably around within an hour, and I'm going to post the audio recording on the Blind Geek Zone website by tonight.
Ah, then alert Mr. Christopher Holdsworth on MSN, I shall. Haha.